Howdy, and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wiegman, and Craig, you know,
Crappie Cowboy.
He decided he was not going to wear his hat. I said, I'll wear my hat. So that's where we're starting. We're starting with him. And how'd you get that nickname? How you end up with that?
Just rode bulls for 32 years and had some success in the tournament fishing world at the same time. So a lot of the guys just kind of started calling me the Crappie Cowboy.
Do you wear a white hat or a black hat?
Black hat. You know, I'm an outlaw.
You know, the good guys in the old shows wore black hats and the bad guys wore white hats. Did you know that?
No.
They did. When they first started making those old movies, they did. So,
well, I was always told that the black cowboy hats were the outlaws, you know? I mean, bull riders are outlaws. There's no good bull riders out there. They're all outlaws.
Would you rather get stuck by a fish hook or have a fish hook embedded into your finger coming up through your nail or have a bull horn running through your leg?
Well, I've never had a fish hook in my finger, knock on wood, and I've never had a horn stuck through me, but I have had them throw me 20 foot in the air. I think I'd rather have the bull toss me than get a fish hook through my finger.
That happened to me twice already this year.
Ooh.
I'm like, seriously, I haven't been hooked in a long time. But the reason why you're here is to talk and give us some tips and on catching fish. And because you're a guide and
yes,
you have
sir.
A guide service, who better to talk about catching crappie? And because you guide on three different lakes, mm-hmm. reservoirs, how you approach catching those fish on three different ones, because they're not all the same reservoirs, that type of reservoirs.
Absolutely.
And so we're just here to pick your brain and see what we can find out. So what would be your tip for catching fish, say like on Lake Eufaula?
Lake Eufaula.
In Oklahoma.
Lake Eufaula is a muddy lake. Most of the time those fish are going to be shallower. And shallow is a relative term. You know, shallow in this lake is deep in a muddy water lake. So shallow is a relative term, you know, on water clarity. Most of my fish that I catch on Eufaula are 14 foot of water or less year round, you know. And there are times when the thermocline builds up on that lake in the summer, we're catching them 3 foot deep in 90 degree water.
Wow.
You know, in 3 foot of water next to stumps laying in the shade. My favorite color on that lake is an orange and chartreuse or a black. I want either a very natural color or I want a very bright color. And in that muddy water, one thing that I have learned with these fish, you know, live scopes, it's a mainstay now. Most all people are fishing that way. They're scoping fish. And I have been out with people that couldn't catch them on Eufaula. And I'll go out with them, and I'll watch their presentation, and I'm like, okay, let me see your rod. You know, what they'll do, they'll drop down, and they'll just hold that jig over the fish.
Right.
Well, that muddy water, he can't see it. You know, with that water uh-huh. gets so muddy, they can't really see that bait well. So what I do, I'll take the rod from them, I'll drop that jig down, and I'll bounce that rod tip hard enough that I can watch that jig jump on the screen. And when uh-huh. that jig jumps and makes that erratic motion, those fish will, every time, they'll just turn up and key in on it and hammer it. Mm. So it's learning the presentation. You know, you're going to get away with a lot more aggressive presentation in dirty water versus a presentation in clear water.
Now, is it rubber or hair that you're fishing for lure-wise?
Both.
Both.
I mean,
it just
kind of depends on the bite. Sometimes they like the hair jigs over the plastics. Early spring, I'm pretty much running plastics, big plastics all the time. Once we have the shad spawn and that fry hatches and we get those big, big groups of shad fry, I go to the hair jigs and go to a smaller presentation.
All right. Now let's go to another lake that you guide on. I know there's two more.
Oh yeah. Okay. We'll go to Hudson Lake in Oklahoma. It's a lake. It's in the middle of the Grand Lake chain. So you have Grand Lake, you have Hudson Lake, and then you have Fort Gibson Lake. So what you run into with Hudson is a lot of up and down water movement.
Oh.
So what I have learned on that lake, probably one of my favorite colors on that lake is a pink head, purple body, chartreuse tail, and a hair jig. And I have found that my more consistent bite is on laydowns, or it's on big stumps that were there on the river channel edge when the lake was built.
Okay.
I mean, there are times there's a lot of standing timber in that lake in certain areas, and early spring, you know, it's, I'll say March through June, you can get a really good standing timber bite. And then from the end of September until they move into a deep water winter pattern, you get a really good standing timber bite. But if that water is fluctuating a lot, I'm finding that these fish like to key in on these big stumps on the river channel edge, and they want that bait moving. So instead of doing a vertical presentation, I'm staying back off those stumps, I'm casting, and I'm letting that bait pendulum over that stump, and they'll come out and eat it.
Wow. All right. And hair, rubber, is it play a part over there?
More hair jigs. Seems to be more hair jigs on Hudson.
Right.
Than plastic for me. I know I've got some friends that do really well on plastic, but it's more of a hair jig bite for me on Hudson.
Seems like there's some reservoirs that hair jigs just seem to work better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the last one that you guide on.
The last one I guide on is Fort Gibson Reservoir. During the summer, it sets up a lot like Hudson because it's part of the Grand Lake chain. So I'm fishing laydowns, deep timber on Fort Gibson. But my favorite time to fish Fort Gibson is from mid-October through the winter. And I get completely off the lake. I move up into the river, and I target big black crappie.
Wow.
And my tip is don't be afraid to go shallow. We can go out there when it's 32 degrees outside, and we're catching those fish in 4 to 6 foot of water a lot of times. You'll find a lay down in that 4 to 6 foot of water, and if there's a gap between the bottom of that lay down and the bottom, it'll just be stacked up with big giant black crappie laying underneath that log.
Wow.
And the presentation at that time of year doesn't really seem to matter. You can cast to them. You can vertical drop on them, and they're usually more than willing to eat. So,
explain a little bit about the difference between a black crappie and a white crappie according to, like, fishing for them. Because you've said, you know, we're fishing more for black crappie, fishing more for
white crappie. My preference is white crappie because the black crappie can be so finicky.
Right.
Black crappie seem to like a smaller bait better than they do a big bait. White crappie like big baits. You know, I can get away with 3.5-4 inch baits with white crappie, and I can fish more aggressively and catch those fish. The black crappie seems to be more finesse, lighter line, you know, more stealthy presentations and smaller baits to get those fish to eat consistently.
Let's talk about presentations. So I see you got ACC crappie rods on your shirt there. Talk about what rods you're using to make those presentations, and what presentations are they? Like, if you went on a guide trip, what's the most common rods, you know, rod lengths that you would use to fish for them?
My most common rod lengths for my guide trips, I love using a 13-foot ACC crappie stick for my vertical presentations when we're live scoping stumps, standing timber, open water suspended fish. When I go to casting, we just came out with a brand new 7'1" piece. The guys down in Alabama and Georgia designed it for casting light jigs. It is a phenomenal rod for casting for these crappie. If I'm going to dock shoot, I go to a 5.5-foot ACC crappie stick.
All right. Are you using spinning reels with that?
I do. I use spinning reels with on all my casting rods. Now, on my long rods, I prefer a bait caster because, and as the way I explain it to my clients, it's a high-tech cane pole. Okay, we've got a 13-foot rod. Most of the time, we're catching these fish in 14 foot of water or less, so we're only fishing 6 to 10 foot deep.
Right.
So you're not really using the reel on that that particular rod except for a line holder. You're setting the hook and you're just lifting it up and flipping the fish in the boat.
It's actually like fly fishing where it just holds the line.
Mm-hmm.
The reel does.
Now, we do have a new 15-foot rod out that I've been getting comfortable with, and that's going to be my go-to rod for tournament fishing just because it's going to allow me to have more reach on those spooky fish.
Yeah, you'll get 15-foot. You get like 23-foot long casts on a dime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pitching with it.
So the debate over braided line or fluorocarbon or mono, what are you using?
I have a love-hate relationship with braid.
Okay.
My go-to is, it was fluorocarbon.
Yeah.
Andy actually came out with a new line. It's going to be released at the Squirrel Festival here in Arkansas.
That's coming up. That's like September 7th.
Yep. And it is a copolymer line. So it's a mix between fluorocarbon and monofilament. We've been tinkering with this line, and I absolutely love it.
Right.
It's on all my rods now.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So out with the braid. And in with the new.
The new copolymer. Yep.
Yeah. Mm. So you're using that. Have you used braid before, though? Did you go through the braid?
I went through the braid phase, and I ran 20-pound braid with my long rods. I always used a fluorocarbon on my casting reels, a lighter fluorocarbon. But on my long rods, I was running the 20-pound braid, and what I found was no matter what you did, you know, if it's windy at all and you've got a 13, 14-foot rod and you're holding that rod and you're watching your screen and you're searching for fish, and it doesn't happen all the time, but a lot of times you'll get a wind knot and it'll wrap that braid around the end of your rod, and if you're not paying attention, you go to pitch on that fish and it's going to go 10 foot out in front of you and hit the water. Because it's tangled up on the end of the rod.
Yeah. So your typical one pole, 13 foot right now setup, what does it look like? A couple bobber stops and an egg weight? How's that look?
Yeah, I run one bobber stop up top. Guiding, I like to use a 1/2 to 3/8 ounce weight because, and then I put two bobber stops below that, and then I'll put my jig below that. The reason I use the heavier weights guiding is because most of your clients are not used to the live scope and the narrow the narrow cone for the transducer. So with that heavier weight, as they move that rod tip, that bait follows the rod tip.
Right.
Okay. If I put a 1/16 or 1/8 ounce weight on that and they move the rod tip, we have to wait on that bait to swing into the cone.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it gets into the cone, they've moved past the fish, and the bait keeps going, and we got to start over. So I like a heavier weight when I'm guiding.
3/8 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy.
And then, but when I'm personally fishing, tournament fishing, or just out fun fishing myself, I prefer around a 1/8 to 1/4.
Uh-huh. Well, that heavier weight, though, I've seen a lot of the guys that have, in windy conditions, will switch over to the heavier weight, though, and use it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, these are the guys from Oklahoma that are doing it. And when we're talking about wind, we're talking wind.
Yeah, a lot of wind.
It's blowing.
Well, and I've seen some of the guys on the tournament trail, and it's just not my style of fishing. It works really well for them. There's some of the guys out there that are putting a 1 ounce weight above their bait.
Yeah.
And they're dropping that bait in and they're turning the trolling motor on high and they're running those fish down. And they just, until they get that bait over the top of that fish, and then they just kind of adjust speed with that fish until he rolls up and eats it.
Right.
That's not my cup of tea.
What does it look like when a crappie hits it on forward facing sonar?
Well, it's.
I always explain it to a person. Crappie looks at that bait, and if he turns like this,
if he turns his nose up, you're going to catch him. But what is unique is, you know, different fisheries fish bite differently.
Uh-huh.
Now, most of the time, that bait will come down, you'll see that fish nose up, and then boom, he's going to hit it. You go to Grenada, any of the big four in Mississippi, and you drop that bait down, that fish is going to follow it. He's going to turn straight up and down. And he's going to swim up to that bait and stop.
Wow.
And he's going to hesitate before he commits to that bait.
Huh.
It's crazy. That's the only place I've ever seen them do that. They will turn straight up and down on that bait before they hit it.
Otherwise, the reservoirs you're guiding on, head turned.
Yeah, if you bring that bait in and you see that fish cock his head up, it's over. You're going to catch him.
Have you ever set the hook too early? Like they turn their head and you're going, you know there's going to be that.
Oh, yeah.
A short delay and you set the hook and then you look over the client and go, you don't want to set the hook that early, but you've just done it because you're so excited.
Okay, so my first 3-plus-pound crappie that I ever dropped a bait on, and my partner, I hadn't been to Grenada yet, and I'd got down there, and he's like, okay, now this is what these fish are doing. He said, you got to wait till you feel the thump.
Right.
So we go out that far. We're not on the water 30 minutes, and here's just a pie plate on the screen. I'm absolute giant. I drop a bait down, this fish swims up, drops down in the water column, turns straight up and down, swims up, and it's just like he stick his nose against the bait, and I'm just sitting there shaking, you know, watching the screen, watching this fish. And I seen this fish go like that. I just reared back and set the hook, jerked the lure out of the water, didn't even come close to catching that fish. So I had to learn to be patient and wait till you feel the bite.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's hard not to get excited.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When a crappie bites,
especially when you have when they're in that kind of frame where they're wanting to look at that bait for a minute before they commit to it. I mean, you know they're going to eat it. They've turned that head up and they're going to eat it, but they want to, for whatever reason, they want to just kind of sit on it for a minute before they attack it.
So, what can you give a tip to someone who's going out there crappie fishing? And they're using one pole and they're using their electronics. What tip would you give them to catch more fish, or maybe bigger fish?
Are we talking if you're going to target big fish? I mean, and I've done this in a lot of my seminars and things like that. You know, big fish are where big fish are. Big fish are not going to be in the same areas where you're finding numbers of fish.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you have to learn those little intricacies. They're going to be in the same area, but they're not going to be right where those groups of fish are. They're going to be 50 yards off or 30 yards off here. And those big crappie to me are like a big buck, or they're like a big bass.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be on the prime stump for comfort and feeding.
Right.
And they're going to be pretty much by themselves. Sometimes you'll find two or three of those big fish on a tree, but most of the time these big, big giant crappie that we are targeting, they're singles, and they're either going to be suspended in open water above a ditch line, or they're going to be on a stump somewhere off by themselves. So don't be afraid to move away. If you're in an area that's holding a lot of crappie,
right,
somewhere close to there's going to be some big crappie. I mean, they're going to be in that area, but they're not going to be right where those smaller eater fish are at.
All right. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. If you're going over there to Oklahoma and snag some of those limits of 37 crappie, well, they got all kinds of lures, hair jigs. They also have some soft plastics. They have the Scopite jig head that is made just for live scoping. So check them out at picolures.com. Craig, if they want to go fishing with you and see what color hat you really are wearing, because maybe he's got two.
Might be pink. You never know.
That's right. Hey, that's an idea. Yeah. But how'd they get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
Website is the Crappie Cowboy. Nope. Oh, TCC Guide Service. She changed it on me. So it's TCCGuideService.com. Okay. All of my social media is the Crappie Cowboy. So they can look me up on any of the social media links. They can look me up on, you know, on the website, or they can call me at 918-430-6884.
Okay, there you have it. Like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lure's in the water.